There's a brand new 8-story building at 166th and Tintin Avenue in the Bronx that resembles a nice hotel with remarkable views.
The bridge is over there.
Les Bluestone is the developer. He ticks off the amenities. There's a new gym, even a glass-enclosed vegetable farm on the roof.
We've got basil and a variety of greens, bok choy.
But this isn't a nice condo. It's city-built, low-income housing. To live here, a couple with two kids can't earn more than $52,000 a year. This building is part of a promise the mayor made back in 2003.
We've begun a 5-year, $3 billion housing initiative.
The demand for affordable housing is overwhelming. 5,000 households applied for 124 units at this Bronx development, but it's a demand the mayor recognized early on, promising to create 165,000 units of affordable housing.
This will address one of the city's biggest problems, lack of affordable housing.
During that same speech, Bloomberg was also pledging to make the city a more desirable place to live.
We will continue to transform New York physically, giving it room to grow for the next century, to make it even more attractive to the world's most talented people.
It's a double-edged sword,
says Ingrid Gould Ellen, co-director of the Furman Center for Real Estate and Urban Policy. She's standing on the Bowery, one of the most transformed areas in New York City.
Because the more people that want to live here, the more expensive it becomes.
And newcomers do keep coming. The city's population is at an all-time high. Take Jonathan Larson. He arrived from Seattle less than a year ago. Like many others his age, he headed straight to Brooklyn.
Yeah. So this is kind of the central room. There's like a hallway that goes that. There's two rooms down there, and then three rooms down here.
Larson pays $580 for this room that's roughly 100 square feet. It's what he can afford, and he had to go to the border of Bushwick and Bed-Stuy to find it.
I had to bring that in. Unfortunately, my room is the only one without a closet.
Each floor is full of young people. Larson came here to attend a creative writing program. The woman across the hall is training to be a merchandiser at Macy's. Larson says he was told by neighbors the building used to be what's called a three-quarter house.
Yeah, apparently all these higher buildings on the block were.
These are notorious places where landlords would cram as many people as possible into rooms, then collect a portion of their welfare payments. Many were fresh from prison and homeless shelters. Now, former three-quarter houses are where newcomers like Larson live. The Furman Center's Gould Ellen says the city is increasingly out of reach. In Bed-Stuy, for instance, median market rate rents went from $925 to roughly $1,400 between 2002 and 2011.
We've seen in the last 10 years, and especially recently during this recession, it's been particularly punishing. Rents have continued to go up, but incomes have fallen and poverty rates are increasing.
46% of New York families make less than $46,000 a year now, according to the city's own poverty measure. Gould Ellen does give Bloomberg credit for his commitment to affordable housing, but Furman Center data shows while he was creating units, more than 100,000 rent-regulated or subsidized apartments went market rate.
It is true that they're swimming upstream to some degree, or swimming against the tide of these sort of rushing market forces.
It's a paradox, Gould Ellen says. The more desirable the city, the more people come. The population is at an all-time high. So are rents. But Bloomberg is on schedule to complete his promise of either building or preserving 165,000 apartments.
All right, here we go. One, two, three. Okay.
In 2007, he cut the ribbon for 10 new homes in East New York.
The big moment. This is the key to your new house.
Bloomberg touted his appreciation for the city's cultural, ethnic, and economic mix.
This is a place for rich and poor. This is a place for those who are just starting to struggle up the ladder, and we want those people who have been successful.
But for low-income New Yorkers who didn't get new keys, living in New York City can be tough. In the Bronx, Ricky Padin lives near 167th and the Grand Concourse. He says as a child, he practically grew up in New York City shelters. Now he pays $900 a month for a one-bedroom apartment he shares with a younger brother. Both young men work fast food jobs. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, food service has been one of the fastest-growing industries under Bloomberg. It also has the lowest wages. His apartment is meticulously organized. Padin had been working 70 to 80 hours a week at two different McDonald's.
I do everything, wash the dishes, take out the garbage, everything. I can't say what I don't do in there because I do the stock. That's the biggest thing.
He says he got fired from one location after he took part in an effort to protest the low wages of fast food workers. His rent takes up about three quarters of what he earns each month, so he often eats at work or skips meals altogether. His brother helps out but can be inconsistent. Still, he feels lucky to have his own place and is determined to hold on to it.
A lot of people I work with live in shelters. You know, they live with friends. They live in a room. Or they live with family. But nobody's able to live alone.
The Bloomberg administration is proud of its record building well-designed, affordable housing and the effect it's had on neighborhoods. Housing Commissioner Matthew Wambua says its affordable housing developments are lifting up places like Morrisania in the South Bronx, once one of the poorest neighborhoods in the city.
If, in fact, rents are rising in a place like Morrisania, in many respects, that's a testament to success of massive investment.
Wambua adds cautiously, it's not as if the mayor brought the Bronx back to life.
But there was a time where the sense was you lived here at times as a default rather than as a choice.
Not too long ago, Harlem was one of those depressed neighborhoods. Right before Bloomberg took office, Carl and Ramona Scott paid just over $400,000 for their Harlem brownstone.
The prices now for this house probably would probably be in a neighborhood of maybe $1 million, or maybe more than that, maybe $1.5 million.
Property values rose in Central Harlem 222% between 2000 and 2012. In nearby Morningside Heights, the increase was even greater. Scott is a retired school teacher, and his wife is a legal secretary. This solidly middle-class couple feels lucky to have reaped the rewards of their neighborhood gaining value.
Well, for me, it was great.
For those who timed it right, the Bloomberg years have been good. But for many others, affording life in the city is getting harder. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.